Okay. Shalom Aleichem. I'd like to deal with something that that certainly has disturbed me for a long time. I think I tried to deal with it once before, years ago. Didn't feel 100% satisfied. And I'm sure it probably bothered you as well. And that is, how did this happen to Noach? It's Parshas Noach. Noach, we learn incredible things from Noach. Ella told us, Noach, ich tzadik tamim ayabed dorosaves, Elokim esalech Noach. This is Rashi, Mikanshi, Iker told us, shall tzadikim him ma'asehim. That it should have said in the pasuk ostensibly, Ela told us Noach, Shem Chan v'Yafes. All the Mefarshim deal with this. And instead, Ela told us Noach and tells us what a tzaddik he was. And Rashi tells us, we see from here that the greatest progeny, the main toldos, descendants of a person, are his good deeds. The idea being that the greatest birth that any of us give birth to in our lifetimes are ourselves, be we male or female. Be'ez Hashem, of course, we always hope for children and pray for children. But really, the first and foremost birth that we have to give to is ourselves. We have to make ourselves over in the fullest expression of the Tzelem Elokim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has implanted inside of us. Incredible self-sacrifice, entire year spent in the Teva. First building the Teva, in the Teva, struggle to maintain the order, to sustain all the life inside. He's an incredible tzaddik. How is it that he ends up in such a mess at the end? How does this happen to Noach? So I'm not going to read all the marmakos I'm sending you, though I think it'll serve you in good stead if you do look at them. I'm not going to read them all chapter and verse. Let's examine this. First of all, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, it says, "Vayinachim Hashem ki asa es ha'adam ba'aretz v'yisatzev el libo." So Rashi says, and the word "Vayinachim nefcha machshavto shel mokal mi'midas rachim el midas hadin," etc. Then Rashi concludes, and he says that every lashon of nechama of tanchumin, kulam. See over here, kulam lashon machshava acheres heim. A new machshava, a different way of looking at things. And we've discussed this before. Again, I don't want to belabor the point. If you say, for instance, in Kaddish, le'elam in kol berchasa v'shirasa, we say in Kaddish that the praise of Hashem should be rise higher and higher and higher from every blessing. Le'elam in kol berchasa v'shirasa, every song, tushbachasa, every praise, v'nechemasa, and every... The way ordinarily we understand the word nechamasa, we usually understand it in terms of consolation, but it seems anticlimactic. Le'elam kol berchasa, shirasa, tushvachasa, nechamasa. We're anticlimactic. We're not rising in crescendo. All of a sudden we rise. And now all of a sudden consolation. Consolation is oh, don't feel bad about it. But really, the idea of nechama, as Rashi tells us, is machshav acheres. In other words, that which we have experienced. This is the goal of also of Nichum Avelim. Again, how it practically is applicable, it depends on the situation, depends on the person, depends on the circumstances. We're not discussing Hilchos Nichum Avelim right now. But the goal is that the person who has experienced this very bitter blow in life should have the capacity to be able to deal with, hear, understand, integrate the experience on a different level. Lakshma Machshava Acheres. Machshava Acheres. Fine. Why are we talking about this? So let's see. It tells us at the end of Parshas Bereishis again, Vayechi Lemech Shtayim Ushmonim Shana Me'ash Shana Vayolid Ben. Vayikra Shmo Noach Lemor Zeh Yinachaminu Mima'aseinu Mitzvon Yadeinu Min Ha'adama Asher Hashem. Noach's name is precisely that, Noach. Why? Because Zeh Yinachaminu Mima'aseinu Mitzvon Yadeinu. So Rashi says, he says, what does it mean? Well, where did Noach's name come from? How is he going to be menachem them? Yinachameinu mima'aseinu, mitzvon yadeinu. Rashi tells us two things. First of all, that until Noach was born, the ground would give forth, they plant chita, based upon the Medrash, they would plant chita, and thorns would come up. You never knew what was going to come up. You never knew what was going to come up. You planted one thing and then something else could come up. Or thistles, brambles would come up. And the Medrash cites even, right, that's this Medrash Tanchuma here, that when the earth was cursed, so Adam said, how long is this going to last like this? That kots v'dardar, kots smiach lach, you plant wheat, you plant barley, and instead you get, you know, thorns, thistles, brambles. How long is it going to last? So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, that's what the Medrash relates, the Medrash Tanchuma, that when a person is born, who is mohul, he's born mohul, you know that's going to end. Noach was born, it stopped. How exactly it stopped? It stopped. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu designed the world. That was one thing. And the second thing is that until that point, they had no implements, farm implements. Everything they did do by hand. And Noach designed for them clay machresha. So how they knew this when he was born, that's a separate story. And the Mepharshim actually talk about it, etc. But this is very cool. This is the idea of Noach. And Rashi says, he concludes over here, if you don't explain that the way that Noach, right, healed or gave healing to the world in such a fashion, i.e. when he was born, it was no longer a surprise what you planted was what grew from the ground. Or that he gave them clay machresha. If you don't explain like that, then you're saying that he was being menachem in some way. He was giving them machshav acheres. His name should be Menachem. But his name is not Menachem, his name is Noach. A degree of tranquility was arrived at. Things were less difficult. He made life easier for them by his birth and by his actions. He's Noach, not Menachem. One of the names of Mashiach is Menachem. Mashiach has many names. Tzemach, etc. Menachem. Noach was not Menachem. He gave them tranquility. Nochu, right? He was Noach. Says the Ksav Sofer, Va'omer. Look at the fly in the ointment here. Again, we're not coming to indict Noach. We weren't Noach, right? But remember, Ki ad shelo hayel hem klei machresha v'lo hayem biyodam shum pe'ul lo hoyel shetotzi adama rak mashet somach me eretz betivo. Until Noach, everything just grew helter skelter. They didn't forget Hashem. You see this? Ksav Sofer. They didn't say, oh, it's our doing, right? We went to Wharton. That's how why we're so successful. They were never sure what Hashem was going to provide for them. So therefore, their hearts are always torn towards them. But after Noach, Klei machresha hischil lifol peulos lazar beteva shitotzi bekal pirosea. They became excellent agrarians, farmers. They knew how to bring out the right sort of produce from the earth after he gave them those tools. Are you shochachim b'Hashem? Ki hu ha-mashkiach ala olam. Va'amu ki poel yodam asa kol zeh. This is the fly in the ointment. Noach wanted to benefit mankind, but he benefited them in a fashion where they didn't learn from the benefit they were receiving. He's not like Avraham. We're not coming to assassinate Noach. We're coming to see the difference. Noach was a very good person. Noach was deeply connected to Hashem, and Noach was a very good person. He wanted to help the people of his generation. We want to make life easier for them, better for them, etc. Avram, and perhaps we'll discuss this in Lech Lecha, was different. He wanted to benefit his generation, but the eager benefit he wanted to give to them is what he did hachnasas orchim. That's benefiting them, that's physical, that's food, that's drink. It's a physical benefit. But he linked it to their connection to the Creator. He wanted them to take the extra mile, not just because he's a holy roller, excuse me, because he knows that the greatest gift he can give them is to link their physical existence to their connection to the Creator. We have two luchos of bris that we received at Sinai. One tells us how to deal with Elohim, as the Maral would describe it, sort of. And the second one tells us how to deal with the Tselem Elohim. But they're together. They're together. Even as we wish to help and benefit man, we have to realize that this is linked to his connection to the Creator. The Imri Emes continues in the same light as that which the Ksav Sofer said. He brings the Medrash that differentiates between Noach and Avram. Noach is like one who loves the king and he's sinking into the quicksand. The king sees that and says, here, come with me, don't go your path, come with me, I'll help you. Whereas Avram sees the king, traveling through darkened alleys. He peers out from the window upon the king and flashes a flashlight so the king can see where he's going. The king peers up at him and says, as long as you're lighting the path before me, why do it here in these dark alleys? Come do it in another place, in a better place, i.e. Lech Lecha, to go to Eretz Israel, etc. Our discussion is on Avram, but see the difference. Avram's benefiting mankind. Let's know that the ultimate benefit, not exclusively, Avram was giving food and drink, but to link that to the step above that also. Realize who is giving you this food and drink. I'm emulating the Creator. He is benefiting us all the time. In Noach's world, it was really two systems. He was a good person, Noach. He was a person of faith, deep, deep faith. Right? Ish tzadik tamim ayo b'dorosav es Elokim esalech Noach. And he was a person of exceptional concern for the people of his generation. He provided them tools that they didn't have before to benefit them, to make their lives better. But easier isn't always better. Unless easier is linked to a higher system. Don't we know it? Don't we know? Don't we see it in our world? After the flood, Vayarach Hashem Mizreach Nichoach Vayomer Hashem El Libo Lohosif Lekalel Odes Adam Abavur Adam Ki Yitzir Lev Adam Minu Ra Minu Rav Lohosif Od Lahakos Es Kol Chai Kaashir Asisi Vakimosi Es Brisi Yitchem. Right, this is later, but Pasuk in Perek Tes. So the first thing Hashem says, Lohosif Lekalel Od. right? Lo'osif od lahakos is kol chai kasher isrisi. The Gemara learns from here the double terminology. Lo'osif, lo'osif, it's also from shvuah, an oath. Hashem swears he will never destroy the world again. Later on, in Pertes, we have the discussion of bris. Akimosis brisi tchem, v'lei kareis, kol basar, od mimea mabul, v'leia od mabul shachis ha'aretz. So in Perek Ches, Pasuk Chafal, there's a shvuah, there's an oath. In Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph, there's a covenant. The Maral explains, right, the Maral explains that the difference between the shvuah and the bris, and once again, I'm not reading chapter and verse inside, but you'll see if you choose to. A shvuah is unilateral. The individual, in this case the creator, has sworn. Okay. A shvuah, though, is subject to hatara. It can be undone. It can be undone. A bris is a covenant between two. It can't be undone because it's a covenant between two. However, if one party decides that it's no longer interested in keeping the bris, they're part of the bargain, the bris dissolves. So we have here, Hashem both says a shvuah in Perek Ches, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph, he refers to a bris, a covenant. Covenant is made between two people who love each other. So through these two concepts, shvuah is incredible strength, through bris, an expression of love, and each one with its advantages or disadvantages. Rashi says there in Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes, Ani hinani mekim es brisi itchem vezarchem achareichem, says Rashi, Ani hinani maskim ani imcha shayanoach doeg lasok bepiri v'rivi. Noach was concerned. He just sees the destruction of the world. Should I rebuild the world? What if Hashem decides to wash it away again? We have a third thing now. We have a shvuah, we have a bris, and we have an os. The os is the keshet, the rainbow. It says, Gurarye, v'ten os. Afam gav dechsiv lo sif, right? Lo sif, lashon of shvua, right? But even a shvua, you can be matir. You can be matir shvua. Now we have a bris, and there's an oath to the bris. An oath to the bris. Chazal teach us, and here. This is what the Yismach Moshe tells us, that even a shvua, there is hatara, but if that shvua is made based upon the das, the understanding, the agreement of another person, and that other person has given you something. And as I swear, let's say Reuven gives something to Shimon, and then Shimon swears that he's going to do something for Reuven after, right? After Reuven has given something to him, that oath is unalienable. It can't be undone. If Shimon has given, if Reuven swears he's going to give something to Shimon, and that he's swearing based upon what Shimon has just done for him, a favor, that can't be undone. I mean, you can think about it, but the idea over there is, if I'm swearing based upon what you've given to me, I can't undo the shvuah. And the Yismach Moshe, one of the Hasidic masters, says that that's exactly what took place over here. The oath is coming on the heels of Noach's korbanos. Noach has given korbanos, whatever the nature of those korbanos are. But he showed that Hashem, the world is yours. Hashem therefore swears. He swears. So we have an oath that can't be alienated. We have a bris, which shows love. I'm going to have an oath to the Bris. An oath to the Bris. Yismach Moshe says the oath to the Bris is just as the different bloods of the different animals, the kosher animals that Noach brought, are all different. So too the rainbow is all different. So the oath, as it were, is a reflection of this, the act of Noach of showing that the world is Hashem's. In turn, the rainbow shows that all the different brios, right? This is the sign, this is the oath of my bris, this is the oath of my love to you, because you recognize you are the representative of mankind here, and you recognize that it's all, you recognize the truth. It's all the creators. Therefore, my bris is multicolored. That's one thing. So what do we say over here? You can't a bris gila. It's a mistake. So what's that? Bris gila. Ha'av b'nei. Right? The shvua is the strength. It's a shvua that is not subject to Hatara. It can't be undone. Why? Because Noach gave the korbanos. But let's take one step further here. The Ramban teaches us, and this is a discussion amongst all the Mefarshim, what's the particular os of the rainbow? Wasn't the rainbow a natural? Was this the first time a rainbow appeared? Yes, no, whatever. It's a discussion. Maybe there wasn't sufficient strength of the light beforehand. I don't want to get into that. But the Ramban tells us one thing. We'll go with the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban says rainbow is tivi, it's natural. No. That's precisely the point. That's precisely the strength of this os to the bris. It's natural. But you see the depth of what appears in nature. Just as we learned that the multicolored nature of the rainbow reveals that all different parts of the Bria are the creators. Of course, man should recognize that, and that's what Noah did by bringing those korbanos. But that's the point. There aren't two systems here. There isn't a system of theology that connect to what he called to God, etc., etc. And then there's the world, something separate. It has to be understood that the goal of man is to realize that this natural, quote-unquote, order is on the surface. But underneath it is all of the ratzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem that it be. And that's why it appears the way it appears. The will of Hashem is waiting to be found inside of nature, inside of every occurrence, inside of every event, inside of every object, inside of every relationship. This is very Sfasemistic. The Sfasemistic is always talking about the idea that man's job description is he travels through the portal, through the corridor of Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh, double the prose doors we learn in Avos, Maseches Avos. And he comes into contact, and sometimes with difficult experiences, and sometimes with pleasant experiences, and with relationships, and with objects, etc. He's meant to find the kernel of Hashem's presence, which is right there, because it's what's giving everything life. Atam v'chayez kulam, Hashem gives life to everything. Existence to everything. Reality to everything. So, it's dafka, that which the Ramban teaches us, that it's natural, the rainbow is natural. That's not a deficiency. Now we're having revealed to us what underlies the world of nature, the world of physics, the world of chemistry, the world of biology, the world of everything in mathematics, is Hashem's will. So Noach had a shvua, Noach had a bris, Noach had an oath to a bris. But, Vayita Kerem, Vayichel Noach, Isha Adama, Vayita Kerem, as Rabbi Bachi teaches us in the Karakemach, Biuro Mishah Shehiskel in Toa Kerem Asa Kedusha So Chol Zeu Loshon Vayichal Shehu Kola Loshon Hachatz Tchila V'Loshon Chilo. Noach didn't link the two systems together. They were both crucial. They're both important. But he didn't meld them together into one. So now, imagine Noach. Imagine us. What an investment. Years of devotion to Hashem. A full year inside the Teva under the most difficult of circumstances. Maintaining, sustaining all life. Comes out, the world has been totally destroyed. He brings the Korbanos. I gotta chill. I have to chill. And the fact is that, you know, it's not like he was ignore Hashem. But this deficiency of not melding, not integrating the two systems together, leads to this error. Vayachel alashon tchila, but a tchila of something separate. It's not something separate. It's all one system. We're not starting something anew. He's not going to restart the physical world, right? And in conjunction, I'll go back to his meditation, his connection to Hashem. The physical world has to be seen as an expression of Hashem's will and how we have to find Hashem's will within this world, in everything that we do and everything that swirls and whirls about us and every experience, every object, every relationship that we come into contact with. Vayachel, it's a new beginning. And also Chil. He, as it were, desecrated his holiness. Says the Alshech, Vayachel Noach ish adama, Amar ki akol holech achar kavanas hapoel. וכינה ביין יש בחינה שמיים והוא לשמח אלוקים בקידוש והבדולו החיוצא. Wine can be used for holiness. Wine can be used for kiddush, for habdolo, for simcha shel mitzvah. Not dafka only yain shel kiddush v'habdolo, but for simcha shel mitzvah. Yain can be used to help alleviate the pain of a person, but it always has to be directed towards maintaining, beautifying, uplifting one's connection to Hashem. That didn't happen with Noach. It was a separate system. I can't anymore. I need to medicate myself. And so he drank, and he became drunk. Medrash brings that on the way to planting this kerem, he met the Satan, or a shade, whatever the case may be. And this the Satan, the shade, said to him, he says, listen, you want me to be your shutaf? You want me to be your partner in this vineyard you're planning to plant? And I'll say, yeah. Because he wanted to see the fruits of his labor immediately, and he knew that with this, whoever it was, the Satan of the Shade's help, he could do it. And so the Shade brought a sheep and slaughtered it and fertilized the grapevine with the blood of the sheep. And then he brought a lion and slaughtered it and fertilized the grapevine with the blood of the lion. And then he brought a pig and slaughtered it, and fertilized the grapevine with the blood of the pig. He says, this is the way a person who drinks, who's not drinking l'shem shamayim, he's not linking it to Kedusha, he's just trying to escape. First he's docile like a sheep, becomes a bit more pensive, thoughtful. Then he becomes filled with bravado like the lion. And in the end, he becomes disgusting like the pig, wallowing in his own filth. Two different approaches. Two completely different approaches. one beautifies the world, one brings simcha, ki ayayin yisamach levav enosh, cause a person's heart to be glad. But it has to be in the context of Avodas Hashem. Or it destroys a person. I just say that this is, we live in a world which is not punctuated, but it is suffused with the culture of entertainment. I just say this halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, I think that points out to two different approaches to what we call entertainment, chilling, relaxing. There's halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, something in Iser, for those of us who don't remember anymore because they live in a world of the Eruv, there's something called Hotzah. You're not allowed to carry from a private domain to a public domain, vice versa. Not allowed to carry four amos in a public domain. The din is, if a person is carrying something, let's say he forgot about Shabbos. He has a load, puts a load on his shoulder, and he forgot about Shabbos. And he's going to walk outside with it, which is going to be an Issa Deraisa. He walks outside with it, but when he comes outside, he's trying to balance the load. He's standing there for a few minutes trying to balance the load back and forth onto his shoulder, back and forth. He can't find exactly the right spot. And as he's trying to balance the load, he's been there for 5 minutes trying to balance the load. He's trying to balance the load, trying to balance the load, trying to balance the load, because he wants to keep on going. He wants to balance the load. Best man, all of a sudden he realizes it's Shabbos, and he turns around and walks inside. He wasn't Mechal Shabbos. Why? That's called Omed Lekatef. He is stopping, but he's only stopping to rebalance the load so that he can keep on going further. It's called Omed Lekatef. These are ketefayim, shoulders. Omed Lekatef, to rebalance the load in order to keep on going further. It's not considered as though he stopped. However, if he goes outside and he doesn't want to go any further, he stops for a second. He's finished. He was Makal Shabbos. Why? That's called Omid Lafush. He's coming to stop. Bayina Fash. He's coming to stop. When we live in a world that's constantly beckoning to us, entertain yourself. Perhaps anesthetize yourself. Make things easier. Make things nice, etc. We have to be deadly careful. If we can, in all honesty, and I repeat, in all honesty, I'm speaking to myself because I see myself in the computer, okay? So don't, I'm not proffering tzidkas and saying, oh, ich bin da, I'm here. And as I speak to everybody out there, yeah, you poor, my spiritual amoebas. We're all in the boat together. If I can honestly justify and say that this is going to benefit my Avodas Hashem, obviously can't be something that's antithetical to Avodas Hashem. I'm said to be Omid Lekatef. I'm rebalancing the load in order to be able to travel further. If, however, though, it's like, Lordy, Lordy, close your eyes. I'll be back in a week. I'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm going on vacation. To do what? Let's not talk about it. And I'm only using that as an example. That's only the fush. I'm coming to a stop because I don't want to go any further. The two systems have to be melded together. Ki ayayin samach levav enosh is in the context of Kedusha. If, however, the yayin is not like that, then a person will go through stages. Be like a lamb, and then like a lion, and then like a pig. Ten Hashem. Next week we'll be Parshas Lech Lecha. Avinu is a different personality. Again, we didn't come to assassinate Noach. We came to learn from his greatness, and yet his mistakes. We should learn from his mistakes. If I can't justify my connection to the physical world in a way that it reflects my connection to the Creator, I've got a problem. We have to beware. Hashem should bless us and give us Siyata Shemaya and the wisdom and have our eyes open so that we can really transform right? All of our earthly experiences into ones that are ethereal, transcendent, uplifting, and carry us from this prosdor of Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. Have a good Shabbos. Be well.